This I believe. Sir Hugh Casson of Britain is a builder. His knighthood was awarded him for his brilliant work as chief architect of the Festival of Britain. Sir Hugh is a slender man with sharp features and untidy hair. He decided to pursue architecture when he was 8 years old. He is known for his witty tongue and swift, ever-ready pen to illustrate his words. Hear now the beliefs of Sir Hugh Casson.
When I accepted the invitation to join in this series, it was not, goodness knows, because I felt I had anything profound to contribute. I regarded it, selfishly perhaps, as a chance to get my own ideas straight. And I started, because it seemed simplest that way, with my own profession. The signposts I try to follow as an architect are these: to keep the innocent eye with which we are all born, and therefore always to be astonished. To respect the scholar, but not the style snob. To like what I like, without humbug, but also to train my eye and my mind so that I can say why I like it. To use my head, but not to be frightened to listen to my heart. For there are some things which can only be learned through emotion. And finally, to develop to the best of my ability the best that lies within me. But what you may say about the really big problems of life, religion and politics and world affairs? Well, to be honest, those great problems do not weigh heavily upon my mind. I've always cared more for the small simplicities of life, for family affection and loyalty of friends and joy in creative work. And religion? Well, when challenged, I do describe myself as Church of England. And as a child, I went regularly to church. But today, although I respect church-going as an act of piety, and I enjoy its sideline, so to speak, the music and the architecture, it holds no significance for me. Perhaps, I don't know, it's the atmosphere of death in which religion seems to be so steeped that has discouraged me. The graveyards, and the parsonical voice, and the thin, damp smell of stone. And even today, a holy face conjures up to me not saintliness, but moroseness. So most of what I learned of Christian morality, I think I probably learned indirectly at home and from friends. World affairs. I wonder if some of you remember a famous pre-war cartoon. It depicted a crocodile emerging from a peace conference and announcing to a huge flock of sheep, labeled peoples of the world, "I am so sorry we have failed. We have been unable to restrain your warlike ambitions." Frankly, I feel very much at home with those sheep, mild and benevolent, and rather apprehensive creatures, acting together by instinct, and I know, of course, very, very woolly. But I have learned, too, I think, that there is still no force, not even Christianity, which is so strong as patriotism. That the instinctive wisdom with which all of us act in moments of crisis, that queer code of conduct which is understood by all but never formulated, is a better guide than any panel of professors. And finally, that it is the inferiority complex, usually the result, I suppose, of an unhappy or unlucky home, which is at the bottom of nearly all our troubles. Is the solution, then, no more than to see that every child has a happy home? I'm not sure that it isn't. Children are nearer truth than we are. They have the innocent eye. And if you think that such a philosophy of life is superficial or tiresomely homespun or irresponsible, I can only remind you in reply that the title of this series is not "This I Ought to Believe," nor even "This I Would Like to Believe," but "This I Believe."
Those were the beliefs of a British architect, Sir Hugh Casson. He lives with his wife, herself a successful architect, and their three young daughters in London.